countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Have you cattle to sell? Find out what they're worth with our March price calculator on farmersjournal.ie.
Now, our friend and colleague John Creedon is back on the road again, exploring Ireland in Creedon's Irish Atlas, which airs at tea time tomorrow on RTE 1 television. John explores the history, archaeology, folklore and place names that shape this land in this series. Here's a little taste of what's in store as John and Ardal O'Hanlon explore Ballinspittle in County Cork. Both men wanted to know what the place name meant, and local historian Jerome Lorden explained the influence of leprosy on the Irish place names.
But the thing about leprosy, what you must understand, is that leprosy encompassed smallpox, plague, people who felt bad, yeah, looked bad, they were all called lepers.
Yeah, I mean, in a time before penicillin, it was just a case of containing them, really, wasn't it? And we discovered those all over the place, like Gortnalower, the Field of the Lepers,
yes, yeah,
and Lover's Walk in Cork, apparently.
Yes, yeah, yeah, that was Gortnalower.
In Galway. Is that the Spiddle, same derivation?
Hospital in Limerick, Spiddle, yes.
Hospital
in County Limerick.
Spittle Hill in Kinsale, and there's Tubbernalower in Spittle in Kinsale.
The Whale of the Lepers.
I can take you to see one now, one of the best-known wells in the area.
You up for that?
John Creedon, good morning to you and congratulations. It looks like another lovely tapestry of colour, sound, voices and intriguing information, but you're more than just the presenter. You know, when I was looking at it last year, and indeed I got a sneak preview of what's happening tomorrow, you're as into this stuff as you are into Cork hurling.
I'm an amateur enthusiast all my life, I suppose. For my mom and my dad, I got to grow up for the place names. I spent a lot of time, obviously, in the countryside growing up with roots there. And academically, I went back to UCC and did a couple of years folklore and Baileadh is the same thing, really, I suppose, and history and a bit of that. But really, I would only describe myself as an enthusiastic amateur. I've got a great draw for it. But I've been surrounded on this series, as with the last, by academics. But again, driven by the same enthusiasm for the people who walk these fields and walk these footpaths before us. So it is, that's the draw, really. And in that case, Jerome Lorden, very enthusiastic man. He knows Kinsale at the back of his hand. So what we did there actually was, it was the trip. It was like the trip to the Holy Well. It was the priest, the professor, and the presenter. So we had Ardal O'Hanlon, who was there in 85 for the moving statue, as I was myself, and we had Professor Luke O'Neill came along, and he tested the waters and the wells to see if the science would back up the belief system in the area. And we got some amazing results, actually. Very interesting.
Yeah, and as you said there, you had people like Geraldine Stout from the National Monuments Service and Shane Lahan, who teaches in this field. Was it difficult, though, filming last year with COVID and all of that? Because it doesn't seem, you know, to have impinged on it at all.
No, it doesn't. It seems so long ago because we were the longest time waiting for the green light. And obviously, there's a demand there for television and for radio during a pandemic. So clearly, people want fresh material. And we were trying to get history, folklore, blue skies, hedgerows, forest bushes, Mount Brescia, and all the beauty of the Irish countryside and the stories. But we had to wait and wait and wait, and eventually we got a green light. We had devised, not me so much now, but the technical people had devised a new way of actually filming. So the only thing we lost, really, was were the big community colourful events that we had in the past, like Ishnach. So there are no flaming torchlight processions or horses' hooves and that kind of stuff. That's been dropped. Mm. Just for this year anyway, at least.
Yeah.
But we did get some great stories. We got some wonderful stories and just great people. And I think particularly with people rediscovering Ireland, whatever about Discover Ireland, a lot of people are saying, God, I've forgotten what a beautiful country it is.
Yeah.
So last summer, people probably were tutting at the notion of being confined to the island for their holidays. But the reports back were huge, and I got a lot of texts and tweets and so on to the programme from people saying, God, we're only sorry we didn't have you in the camper van with us to tell us what the foreign means or what this means. So that's why I did the book as well. It was something I wanted to do myself, but the timing seems to have been perfect because there's a wave of new interest in who we are, where we've come from, and just a love of country, love of place.
Yeah,
and with the 5KMs, we're locked down now as well, so you might as well get to know the area.
You know? Absolutely. The Place We Call Home is out in paperback this weekend. That's your new book. And we mentioned there about the revolution of the drone and it just paints the picture beautifully. But Geraldine, I want to bring you in here at this point because John talked there about the 5K radius, and I was chatting to Emma Gillies, who's an architectural historian, a couple of weeks ago to give her some credit on this, because she said, don't talk about 5K, talk about the 41K circumference that you can actually travel and explore. So if you get a good map, there's lots to see.
Absolutely. I wouldn't go anywhere without an Ordnance Survey 6-inch to a mile map, because that just it just shows you all the buildings and the mills and the forges and the schools and the barracks that are in your area. And we're just so lucky in Ireland because every part of it is saturated with historic, with interesting historical buildings and archaeological monuments. And one of the websites I would certainly advise your listeners to look up is the Historic Environment Viewer, which has been developed by the National Monument Service. And in that viewer, when you go into it, you could look at any part of Ireland and it will show you where the archaeology is and where the historic buildings are, and will tell you a bit about them. So there's no part, no matter where you are, you can look up and then you can rediscover the archaeology and the buildings of your own area. And you know, it's as John said, it's the excitement of discovery, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, and the map is a great idea, Geraldine.
Yeah,
but
the
Shane,
map is a great idea.
But Shane, if you don't have, Shane Lahan, if you don't have a map, the local graveyard.
Absolutely. I would just say, you know, Ed, the landscape is just full of these clues to the past of the place. And just, you know, walk along the road and just look for your old stone buildings.
Yes.
Look for your mills, and your forges. And try and understand, you know, what is the history of your area.
Shane?
You know, and I would also, you know, parish histories. There's always a parish history.
There is.
Which can tell you about it. And, you know, there's nothing like discovering a place that you've been walking, you've known the area for years, but to walk and rediscover a new place, it's a great thrill.
Yep. I'm here. Yeah. So listen, I'm listening to Geraldine, and she's saying exactly everything I'm thinking of. But there's so many things. I think what's great about John's program is it lets us see the what you might call the extraordinary in the ordinary. You know, John has a great way of looking at the world through the eyes of a child, and I think when within our own 5K at the moment, it's something we should all start doing. You know, I'm interested in looking at everything and anything. I broaden out the definition of an archaeological site because my students at the moment, they're doing surveys for me, but they're not now able to look for the ring swords and the standing stones and the megaliths and so on. They're now looking at everything from tinny sheds and mill races and
I always say, at one stage I looked at farmyards, and you can actually write the history of Irish farm grants from just looking at a farmyard, because you can see the different types of sheds that were built and the different types of grants that are available, you know. So there's kind of the history in just a farmyard. And ditches that they're just part so familiar to us.
Yeah, well,
and, you know, how they're all kind of 18th century.
Sure,
date.
Sure. Geraldine, I tell you, you could do a whole programme on all of this. And there is one coming up tomorrow night at 6:30 on RT1. And it's the first of the new series of Creedon's Irish Atlas. I could talk to you forever, but I'm afraid, guys, I'm going to have to let you go there. But look, it's a nice little taster. It'll keep people interested because they'll want to hear from you all over the next few weeks. And I know tomorrow, Shane, you have a wonderful piece there in relation to the history of Buttevant in particular. So that's tomorrow on RT1 at 6:30. If you really want to break away from all the doom and gloom, I guarantee you, you can hold me to it. It's a wonderful programme, and well done to John Creedon, and thanks to the guys there for chatting to us.